Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon today, of course, is going to be on the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's Ascension Sunday, and I hope everybody watched the acolyte extinguish the Christ candle. That candle gets lit back in the first Sunday of Advent when we think of the promised coming of a Savior and, of course, his birth at Christmas. And then the first whole half of the church year focuses on the life of Jesus and what he's done for you and for your salvation. And then today we extinguish that candle just to mark that. By the way, it's not a scriptural commandment, it's a custom, it's a practice to focus on the idea that today the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven. We're going to talk about what that means and what it doesn't. But as we get there, I want to kind of start with this. There's a richness about the liturgical calendar and all the dates that are on it. But the real center of the thing is the triduum. So that raises the question, what's the triduum? Anyone know triduum? It means 3 days. So what 3 days would be the central thing? Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday. That's when your Lord Jesus Christ dies for your sins, atones for all sins of all people ever, is dead and buried, and rises again. And when I say that the Lord Jesus Christ rose, and you've heard me say this before, but I'm going to just say it again, he rose from the dead literally, historically, and physically, right? We need to be very clear on that. That's where we stand. We're not saying it's a metaphor. We're not saying it's a hopeful story. The Lord Jesus literally and actually walked out of his grave. In the reading from Acts, I love this. The Lord Jesus risen from the dead was with the disciples for 40 days, and it used this phrase, and he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. So what kind of convincing proofs? Well, one is that the ladies hugged him, right? There was a physical body there. Thomas reached out his finger and put it in his side. And the Lord Jesus had breakfast by the lake with the disciples, ate food. So when I say the Lord Jesus was raised literally, historically, and physically, we mean it in all the sense of that. Now, here's a fun thing to think about ascension. The Lord Jesus, risen from the dead, was with them for 40 days. So here's a fun thing to remember. Who here remembers, you know, the date of Easter changes? What was the date of Easter this year? Anybody remember? April. This is a pastor's wife saying this. She's cheating. No, that's right. That's good that she knows. Did anybody else know that? It's April the 5th. Somebody else had it? Aiden did, our confirmand for the year. I told you, Aiden's very serious about his Bible study. He's exactly right. April the 5th. Doesn't that seem like it's forever ago? Right? Easter's wonderful. The church is full of people. A lot of special music going on. It's a celebratory day. But then after Easter Sunday, with all that going on, the next week we get back to errands and grocery shopping and laundry and paying the mortgage. And it's really hard to remember that the Lord Jesus conquered death and grave for us. And to think about it, we celebrate Ascension on the Sunday following. The actual day of Ascension is a Thursday, so this past Thursday. That means that this year, this year's calendar, the Lord Jesus would have risen on April 5 and been with us till May 14. Can you imagine being with the risen Lord Jesus from April 5th until May 14th every day, basking in that, that the Lord Jesus is risen from the dead? And then today, or Thursday, he ascended back to heaven. And I want to say the same words I said about his resurrection. He ascended into heaven literally, historically, physically, in his body, went to heaven. Now, here's a fun question. Does the Bible very often talk about the ascension? And the answer is yes. And the reason I ask it is because sometimes churches don't talk about ascension much. It's kind of the forgotten holiday. Especially non-liturgical churches almost don't have it on the calendar. But that the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven. That, by the way, his grave is empty. And the bones of Jesus are not on this planet. Right? It's not like he was raised from the dead and died. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. His grave and his body are not here. Now, here's some text. So this morning, our first lesson, Acts chapter 1, our third lesson, Luke 24, ascension text. I want to throw a couple more out. Mark 16, 19, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Romans 8, 34, Christ Jesus, who died more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. I'm going to say something about that later. Ephesians 1, that was our epistle, talks about God's power, which he exerted when he raised Christ Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Philippians 2, 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place. 1 Timothy 3:16, I love that verse. It's like a little creed in the Bible. He appeared in the body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. So does the Bible mention the ascension of Jesus? Yeah. No. I want to notice something about it. When we say that he went up, we always have to kind of wrestle with this for just a minute. Because we need to figure that heaven, I need to be very clear about it. Heaven is not outer space. Does everybody got that? So when I say up, if you keep going up, you wind up orbiting the earth. And if you keep going up, you get to the moon. When we say that the Lord Jesus rose to the right hand of God, this is what we have to get. Heaven is a different realm. Right? It's a very different realm. If you are a science fiction fan, I might say that heaven is an alternative universe. If that doesn't help you any, ignore it. But if it does help, then grab it, right? Does that make sense? But the reason I mention is this. This is a true story, and many pastors use this illustration, but way back in the 1970s, a Russian cosmonaut took a spacecraft into outer space, and the first thing he said is, "I didn't find God." You've heard that? And the reason I say heaven is a different realm is when he said that he was in space and didn't find God, most of us were saying, well, we didn't think you would. Right? Okay. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended in heaven. Now, here's a question for you. Does that mean that Jesus is now absent? You hear the question? Is he now absent? No, that's correct. So let's look at a couple places. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, Matthew 18, 20. Now, not in the sense that you hug him, not in that sense, but that the Lord Jesus Christ is spiritually present. I would like to ask this. If Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together, did we this morning make quorum? Right? That's a voters' assembly question, right? The answer is yes, the Lord Jesus is here with us. And here's the other thing he says, this is my body, this is my blood. Is he present here?
Yes.
Again, not exactly the same as his physical presence in front of Mary Magdalene, but he is sacramentally present at this altar. Right? Okay, so the Lord is present. Now, he's present here in those ways, but he also sits at the right hand of God, and that raises the question, well, what's he doing? What's he doing? I got three things. One is he's reigning. Did you know that? That the Lord Jesus rules over all things, even in heaven? And the reason I'm emphasizing that is I get this. So we say the Lord Jesus, the Lord of creation and the Lord of the church, reigns over all things, and then we turn on the TV and we watch the news and it seems like it doesn't seem so. So in my preparation this week, I decided to read couple different comments from Martin Luther about the ascension. I'm not going to quote it exactly, but it's really easy to get what he said. He said that when we confess what we confess about the ascension, we don't always see it with the eyes. You see what he's saying? He was living in the same goofy world. And he was saying, we confess that the Lord Jesus reigns. There's things that he permits. God gives man a certain range of freedom, but the Lord God is directing and taking this somewhere, right? That's just the case. And some of us face things that make you wonder, what is the Lord up to here? And it is the reality that he is taking you somewhere, okay? Okay, first thing is he rules, he reigns. Second thing is this, he blesses. You can't miss that in the text. Right before Jesus ascends into heaven, it says he was blessing them as he ascended in heaven. It is the work of Christ to bless his church. Here's a fun verse, Ephesians 4:8. When he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Now here's when he ascended on high, it says led captives in his train. Now here's the fun question. Who are the captives? You are. Right? The biblical view is that before your salvation, you were captive to sin. You were in the enemy's camp. And the Lord Jesus has conquered you, claimed you as his own, and stuck you in his victory procession. Right? And he's saying that in the sense of like in the ancient world, when a general won a battle, he'd march into the capital city with all his captives behind him, except that when the Lord Jesus walks in heaven, he has you. He's conquered you and claimed you from the devil. Now here's the fun part. It says he led captives in his train and gave gifts to his people. That's his blessing. He has gifted you. He's gifted us. All the gifts that the Lord Jesus has imparted to this congregation, in the narrow sense, but to the church across the globe in the broad sense, he's given gifts. That's what he does. He blesses and gives gifts. So he reigns, he blesses, and here's a fun one. I've never preached on this before. I don't know why. It just struck me this year. He prays for us. Did you catch this? Romans 8:34, that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God, that's ascended into heaven, comma, and is also interceding for us. The Lord Jesus prays for you. Now, it's interesting to notice that's Romans 8:34. The exact same chapter says that the Holy Spirit prays for you. That's Romans 8:26, where St. Paul says, we often don't know what we ought to pray for. And isn't that the case? We face stuff and we think, Lord, what should I pray in this situation? And so after Paul says that, he adds, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. That's awesome that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit petition the Father about you. And the reason I love it so much is I have to say, even as a pastor, my prayer life is not quite as strong as it should be. Right? Do we not sometimes say, I'm going to spend several minutes, right, a lot of time, several minutes in prayer, and the next thing that happens is we start to feel sleepy. And sometimes we say, I'm going to spend time in prayer, and then I get an alert on my iPhone. And it's very distracting. And between sleepiness and distraction, our prayer life probably isn't as strong as it could be. I don't mean that as a guilt trip, just as a description. It's true of me. But to know this, that the Son, the risen Jesus, prays for you and the Holy Spirit prays for you with groans that words cannot express. I'm going to say those prayers are pretty good. Okay. That's the ascension. I want to make two final comments. Because part of the ascension of Jesus is that there are two promises made. Promises. Here they are. The first one is the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus ascends into heaven to send the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to preach on that because that's next week. Right? Next week is Pentecost. We're going to talk about that then. But I do want to notice this. The disciples took the opportunity to get in one more stupid question. They're always saying the wrong thing. The Lord Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, and they say, I think we got time to say one more dumb thing. And they say, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Right? Always, always, always earthly power with these guys. Lord, when you come in your kingdom, can I sit on your right and my brother sit on your left? And he's thinking, oy, gavant. So now they're sort of saying, okay, we get it. There was the betrayal, the scourging, the cross, the death. How about now? Will you restore the kingdom now? And Jesus says, it's great what he says. It's always great what he says. He says, it's not for you to know times or dates. And then he totally switches the subject and say, you guys might want to be talking about earthly rule, but I'm going to tell you this, if you wait in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit will descend on you. That's the answer. Isn't that great? The promise of the Holy Spirit. Okay, second promise is the second coming. The Lord Jesus ascends into heaven. They're staring at it, wondering what on earth. And the angels say, this same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you've seen him go into heaven. The ascension of the Lord is always, always a promise of his return. Now, when I say the Lord Jesus is going to return, what's the obvious question you want to know? When is that? And guess what the answer to that question is? It's not for you to know times and dates. Right? He just said this. It's not for you to know times and dates. Just that he is. So, your Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, preached the gospel, taught the parables, healed the sick, raised the dead, died for your sins, and rose from the dead, literally, historically, and physically, on an Easter morning, and for 40 days was with the disciples, ascended into heaven, and were waiting for his return. Not knowing the times or the dates, our task is to trust. To trust in that risen, ascended, and coming Lord. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.